Very glad to be joined this evening by Sam Mita. Sam is the CEO of the Lake Superior Zoo, and he joins us from his office down in Duluth. Sam, thanks so much for taking time to be with us this evening.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it very much.
I think that probably everyone knows, unless somebody doesn't have access to TV, the internet, YouTube, or newspapers, they may not know what happened. But a little over a week ago, of course, Duluth got hit with torrential rains, severe flooding, and perhaps nobody suffered more than the Lake Superior Zoo. We've all seen pictures and heard stories. But first of all, how's the zoo doing?
Bob, actually, I was reading your email here, and the cure for grief is motion. It says that I'm from a fortune cookie. I'm from email from Ann, and
yes.
And we've been in motion and working hard, and the staff's been working hard, and volunteers, and the zoo is moving towards recovery. We're really active in cleaning up a great deal of debris that was done or left behind. The volunteers did a great job with that. We have a lot of dirt that needs to be moved. That's kind of the stage we're at right now. So overall, the zoo is moving ahead to get it cleaned up and make it safe for reopening at some point, as soon as we can get a few more things taken care of.
Sure, and we should let people know that the zoo is closed at the present time. I guess the correct phrase for that would be until further notice, but certainly it sounds like everyone's working hard to make that as soon as possible. And really, Sam, you had to deal with, it sounds like, and I'm guessing, this tragedy on a number of different fronts. Number one was, and you just talked about it, the physical damage that was done to your, or the damage that was done to your physical plant by mud and dirt and debris and water. The second, of course, was the loss of life of the animals and the well-being of the animals that you have. And thirdly, my guess is that dealing with the grief that would surround that. Is that true?
The dealing with the loss of the animals is probably the most difficult thing that we're having to deal with. I mean, because we don't look at the animals as just animals. They're actually part of our staff, in a sense. They're our friends. They're
certainly
part
family.
Of our family here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and so you can imagine dealing with that many losses at one time, how that makes it very difficult for people to concentrate on other things. But I have to say that the staff here have been superb. They've dealt with that and continued to do the job because they knew they needed to get done. And we have all the other animals that still need to be watered and fed.
Sure.
And taken care of on a daily basis. So they've had to deal with all of that, and it's just amazing how they've done that. And they're still continuing to do that. They're still in mourning.
Yeah. I'm sure
working through that process.
I'm sure that's true.
Yeah.
And for those that that didn't hear or didn't know and perhaps didn't get the full story, you lost 11 animals, I believe. And can you talk about what those animals were and how that happened?
We lost, up in the barnyard area, we lost 4 goats, 6 sheep, and a donkey. And then down in the creek, we have some bird exhibits that are along the creek. Actually, one is Raven Island is in the creek. We lost a raven there, and then we lost a turkey vulture and a snowy owl, and all of them had succumbed to water.
Hmm. Take us through a little bit about when the rains really started to come and the water was rising, were you aware that, boy, you could really be in for some problems here, and what kind of response did you make at that time?
Well, that's the interesting thing, that, you know, we prepare based on, like if most people do, with forecasts, and the forecast was for not much rain. Started out like an inch, and then I think it increased to a couple of inches, and later into the evening, between 10 and 11, the creek was still within its banks, so we weren't aware that we were going to get this water episode, this water event from upstream. And so that took us by surprise. It took everybody in the area by surprise because it was not forecasted by any means. Had it been forecasted like that, you prepare, obviously. We prepare for a blizzard different than we prepare for snowfall. We prepared for, you know, thunderstorms, and we got more of a hurricane drenching out of it. So
yeah.
It's hard to prepare for all that. And so the, and then, of course, the unfortunate plugging of culverts downstream in some fashion or some event downstream prevented the water from making its way to the St. Louis River, and that just backed up into the zoo. And how quickly, we have no idea. Nobody seems to really know what that timeline was or how quickly it happened, but it could have been very quickly.
Sure.
And
just made things worse.
Yeah, we just don't know what that episode looked like. And, you know, I guess we're thankful that we didn't suffer more losses and no human beings were also lost in the events, not just here, but throughout the region.
Throughout the region, yeah, which is really amazing, nothing short of a miracle. Yeah. And I don't want to, despite the tragedy and the loss of those animals, and of course that probably more than anything got nationwide and perhaps even worldwide coverage. What about the animals, though, that survived? How are they doing? How are they being dealt with in this time period right now?
It's a good question. We moved some animals. Well, first of all, we had the seals. Everybody knows about seals taking their swim out. And one of them went feisty on Grand Avenue and getting him back into the zoo and put away. And their polar bears standing up on the rocks on the edge of her exhibit. And they were all secured, taken care of. They're down at Como Zoo for the time being, doing well. Most of our other animals are up on the fringes of the zoo, more up out of the water, and they just got up on their rocks or went up to the corner of their exhibit. They seem to be doing fine. And we've moved some out from their exhibits afterwards. Like, we moved the lions, even though they didn't have any water in their holding area, because we wanted to make sure that we could inspect everything and make sure there was no collapsing of ground or saturated ground on the outside that might give away when the water totally went down. So they appear to all be doing well. A couple of animals have been moved to holding areas off of their exhibit. Well, we clean up everything here, and then we'll go back on exhibit if their exhibit's in good enough shape for them.
Sure.
We did suffer some damage to exhibits. So.
I was going to ask you about that, whether what kind of damage there was to the physical plant. But the thing that occurred to me while you were talking is that, you know, some of the animals had some water in their areas and moved to higher ground or whatever. Do you have any kind of idea, Sam, what kind of trauma that causes for animals when this kind of a natural disaster takes place? You know, a lot of times we think about human beings and what happens, what they go through, but what do animals, do you think, go through?
You know, that's a question I'm not qualified to answer. I really don't know.
Yeah.
I think that the best, our keepers who work with them day in and day out, know their behaviors, are the ones that could probably detect before anybody else whether they were having some unusual behaviors. And I haven't heard anything like that, but I'm really not person qualified to talk about that particular item.
Well, let's get back to what you did mention. As far as your physical plant, and again, I'm aware, of course, that the cleanup has started. It continues. It will go on for a long time and is massive. But what about to the infrastructure? Any concern for damage there that you know about?
Well, yeah, we did suffer some infrastructure damage to pathways. Very obviously, you can see them in the blacktop, missing, buckled. We have several WPA bridges that cross over Kingsbury Creek, and they took a beating. And we're not sure that the bridges look in good shape, but we're not sure about what might have happened in the approaches to the bridge underground. So we've got that being looked at by professionals next week. Polar Shores building itself was flooded, so all of the electrical and pumps and motors, etc., freezers for the food, that's all shot.
Wow.
And we're having that evaluated, too, because we're not sure about structural beyond that. So all of that has to be evaluated yet, but we do know that those particular things had suffered. So, and then we lost a lot of small stuff. You know, the Raven exhibit suffered some damage, and a lot of the portable equipment, stuff that's down in that area, picnic tables, benches, etc. Got moved around, some of them destroyed, those types of things. But the biggest thing is pathways, bridges, polar shores. And then the other interesting thing is Kingsbury Creek itself has filled in a lot with a lot of rocks and stuff that have to be dredged out of there to get it back down to its depth that it can carry water through there sufficiently.
Oh, sure, sure. Now, and you mentioned that everybody probably knows about it, and I would agree that, again, with the YouTube and what have you, but can you tell the listeners that may not have heard what did happen with the seals?
The water had gotten so high during this event that it got higher than the railings on their exhibit, and the water, they have a pool, obviously, and animals have access to indoor and outdoor. So they were out in there, and we believe they got washed out of there, floated out of there, and they had probably taken the current and ended up down towards Grand Avenue, and we believe, because we're not sure, but we believe they probably went under Grand Avenue through that culvert and came up on a pond on the other side, which also had backed up, and that's how they got out. And then Feisty, we got up on Grand Avenue, and we corralled him back into the, or her back into the zoo, and then Vivian was a little further downstream, and we captured her and brought her back safely as well.
Now, they must have figured, it would really be interesting to know what was going through their minds when they get washed that far and they're swimming along. But now, did people call you and tell you where they were? Is that how you knew where to go get them?
Yeah,
I suppose they call law enforcement.
Yeah.
Huh. Now, how far away were they from where they started out?
Well, the Polar Shores exhibit's about in the middle of the zoo, so looking at maybe that's a block or half a block from Grand Avenue and so on the other side. So I'm guessing within, Feisty was within that distance. Hmm. And then Vivian was a little further downstream. I reports were that she was, I think, within a quarter mile or... Uh-huh. Some distance like that, I'm not positive, but she was a little further downstream when she was taken back.
You mentioned that Feisty and Vivian, the two seals, and also the polar bear down at Como Zoo. Mm-hmm. Are zoos normally set up to be able to do that for one another, take animals? And when they do that, do you know whether, do any special provisions have to be made? Because I'm assuming they know that they're someplace different than where their home is.
Some zoos, obviously, are better equipped than others. But you have to have sufficient space to bring in an animal from another zoo and house it for a while, because you don't mix it in with your own animals. You have to put it in a place of its own, because of quarantine issues, obviously.
Oh, sure.
So some have capacity. Como Zoo happens to have that capacity and is close by, and they right away offer to help us out, house some animals for us for the time being. Mm-hmm. They are also housing some animals from the Minot flood from last year.
Oh, I see.
So they're still housing some animals there. They're well equipped. Other zoos are not. Well, we'd have a difficult time because we don't have the excess capacity for housing other animals. We have a quarantine area, and we might be able to help out for a short time, but
sure,
we don't have the capacity that they have. So it varies, but I tell you that everybody will, in the zoo community, will offer and make an effort to try to help their neighboring zoos.
I'm sure that's true. That question just popped into my mind. The polar bear and the seals, how are they transported down there? It's a two-hour trip.
When we had taken them here, we had... we got the seals back up into our animal care center, our holding area, and then Berlin, because she was on the rocks in her exhibit, when the water receded, she came off, and so she was sedated, tranquilized, and then we transported her up to the holding area, and then Como Zoo came up with a equipment, vehicle, and properly trained staff, and gave them the proper sedation and what they needed to make that trip down to the Como Zoo and put them in. Yeah, you have to make them relaxed, but not too relaxed. And
sure.
They're professionals in what they do, and so it was all done very well, and we're very appreciative of that. They came up that Wednesday evening and helped us out that way.
Oh, great. We've been visiting with Sam Mida. Sam is the CEO of the Lake Superior Zoo. And Sam, the last couple of questions I've got for you are, obviously, that this was something that was on the news right away. We've been hearing about it ever since. I'm assuming that there's been a great deal of an outpouring of support for the Lake Superior Zoo. If people, first of all, if they want to find out how things are going with the recovery and the cleanup and all the rest of it, how can they do that? And secondly, if people want to help, how can they help?
Okay. Our website is the best place to go for information. Information we put on there is accurate. We're trying to keep that updated as quick as possible. There's, things change quickly and there's a lot going on. But I would go to our website, www.lszoo.org. And you can find information there about what's going on, how you can help, donation-wise, or what's going on with any of our needs. And volunteers have been tremendous. The community's been tremendous. We're totally overwhelmed by their coming forward and stepping up and wanting to help. And we're also very humbled and appreciative of all that. And I want to say that. We're not the only story in town.
Right.
We're the only zoo in town, and our story is one that people are very interested in. But there is a lot that's gone on in the community, in the counties, and I imagine even up where you are, there has to be stories of things that have happened, and if not this storm, some other storm. But so I want to remind people too that there are other places that other people that need help as well, so they can always find some opportunities to volunteer. I think it's volunteerduluth.org is another site that can be looked at for helping elsewhere in the area. So
that's great.
Go to our website and you can find what you need right there.
Super.
LSZoo.org.
Well, Sam, as I mentioned before, I want to thank you very much. Obviously, this is a very busy time for you and for your staff and for the volunteers. I want to express our sympathy for the loss of the animals and also our encouragement for the work that you have ahead of you. And we look forward to the zoo being back up and running real soon. And as I said before, thanks for taking time to be with us this evening.
Well, thanks for your interest, Bob, and thank you to all your listeners for their interest. And we're looking forward to getting back on our feet and looking towards the future. And that's what we all do, I guess.
Yep, that's right. Well, thank you again so much. Take care.
Okay.